Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
But Malachi Starks, he's part of the equation here to talk about that. Preview the second and third rounds from the Baltimore Banner. He is our friend and yours. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, what's happening?
What's up, guys? I'm guessing the guy you're talking about who can fill a need is not Shedeur Sanders, right?
I'm going to go ahead and lean in your direction as an affirmative. But anyway, Malachi Starks, he had been mocked to Baltimore 1,000 times, as we know, Jonas. So they get a guy they liked, obviously, a guy they need, of course. So far, so good. Pre-even put on shoulder pads. We're thumbs up in this one?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think there were like a whole lot of superstar candidates at that point in the draft. I agree with everything that the Ravens said about, you know, who he is, his football character, all that jazz. But, you know, that there is a reason, I think, that he was available this late in the first round. You know, I guess that his 2023 tape, which I haven't dug into as much as his 2024 tape, was pretty exceptional. But, you know, there are some games where you're like, you can fall a little bit out of love with what he did
Texas.
On tape. You know, you turn on the Alabama game, he's losing contain on Jalen Milroe. He's missing tackles. He's doing this. He's doing that. You watch the second Texas game, he's given up a long, downfield shot to Matthew Golden as a center fielder. I mean, he's kind of losing contact with some of these guys in the slot. Obviously, it's great to have a safety for the Ravens who is as versatile as that, who can play the post, who can play, split field looks, who can play man-to-man in the slot. But there are, some athletic limitations to this guy. I mean, I know people got hung up on Kyle Hamilton and his 40, but he tested better, I think, generally than Malachi Starks did in all the other stuff. And really the only reason that he fell was because he wasn't a, sub 4 or 5 guy. So I think, this guy should be able to come in right away, probably win that starting job over our Darius Washington and, let the Ravens get pretty funky with everything that they can show a quarterback before the snap. But, I think there's also a reason why he was, the number 27 overall pick and not someone who flew off the board, not someone who flew off the board earlier.
When they were sitting there, when Ken and I were doing the show last night, and you had Emmanuel, you had Starks, and you had Josh Simmons. Those were my three candidates. And then Mike Green, but character-wise, they couldn't touch that. So I told Ken, I said, Ken, we're going to find out what safety they like better. And that's what we did. They like Starks better than Emmanuel, and I didn't have a problem. Because what it does, bottom line, what it does, it unleashes Kyle Hamilton is what it does.
Yep. Yeah, and like my kind of crackpot theory coming to this draft was that everything the Ravens would do on defense would be based around making Kyle Hamilton as good a weapon as he could and protecting him as much as they could. And to me, that's not just finding someone in the secondary that can, weaponize his versatility. It's also, drafting linemen and edge rushers who, kind of would support the system where the Ravens can get away with playing with nickel personnel against, heavier looks. Like, I personally was a fan of Donovan Ezeraku. I think, taking him would have been defensible. But if you're talking about, having a future Ravens defense where a guy that light in the pants is one of your edge defenders and basically trying to protect Kyle Hamilton, who himself, oftentimes has to play that role of off-ball linebacker, then you're kind of sort of playing with fire. So I think what the Ravens did in taking Malachi Starks and maybe what they'll do today is just get guys who, you know, set a hard edge, who can let him be what he wants to be, what he needs to be in that Ravens defense. And you get a guy who, you know, for the future, assuming he stays healthy, should be like a perennial defensive player of the year candidate in Kyle Hamilton.
Now, Jonas, I'm guessing O-line, pass rusher, O-line. Because I think the Ravens would have taken a guard last night if the right guy would have been there.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of love for Tyler Booker. I think personally Malachi Starks would have been a better selection. I didn't really love Booker's lack of mobility in the game. But, you know, what I said for, you know, a couple of weeks now is like the Ravens need to find somehow, some way, their next Patrick McCary. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are a lot of guys in this draft who are tackles right now because of, you know, their college tape, but should be able to kick inside as a guard. And maybe, you know, you challenge Andrew Voorhees, maybe you challenge Daniel Faalele for a starting job. But they just need some depth there. I mean, you know, obviously free agency kind of clear them out a bit. And I think if you can find someone that you like there or as an edge rusher, I mean, you know, the longer you wait, the further we get from the first round, it's going to be exponentially more difficult to find guys who could be true difference makers up front. And I think that if, you know, JT Tuimoloau, if that's how you pronounce his name, or like, you know, Braden Swinson, the LSU kind of power rusher, either of those guys is there, then I think I would be super comfortable with those picks. But if the depth of draft favors taking an offensive lineman there, then maybe you can get away with taking, you know, a guy in round three who's a little bit more gimmicky.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Jonas, do you think one of the sixes is a kicker?
I do. For as much pride as the Ravens put in their kicking operation and Randy Brown, I think at a certain point you have to actually invest in talent to get talent. And I think there are other teams in this draft who need a kicker and who have said that they're going to take a kicker. So you can't just, you know, wave your fairy dust over, you know, a random undrafted free agent and expect him to be a guy who kicks over 85% from field goals, or, you know, can be able to kind of withstand all the whipping winds of M&T Bank Stadium. It's just, you know, as Justin Tucker showed for the past couple of years, it's just not that simple. So I think that it would make sense for them to take a guy in the draft, unless you're really, really certain based on everything that you've heard around the league that you can get a guy in free agency who you really, really like.
Jonas, what did you think of the division? What did you think of Cincy, Cleveland? Cleveland was like, you know, the exciting one, and then Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really like Derek Harmon. I think he probably would have been one of my favorite picks for the Ravens if he was available. I just, you know, he kind of reminds me of just this big bumper car out there, just bigger, stronger, faster than so many guys, and can do a lot of things. You know, might not be super great against the run, but I think could be that. And it sure will be interesting to see what Shamar Stewart can be out there. I mean, I think
I wasn't in love with Shamar Stewart.
You think the yuck? Didn't you give it away?
Me neither. I think that there, if you want to be an optimistic and you're a Bengals fan listening to this, God forbid, like you say that the guy that you saw in the Senior Bowl, who was, you know, close to unblockable and left after a day or two because he didn't need to show anything more, was more representative of the kind of guy he could be than the guy that you saw at Texas A&M. Because, you know, as I'm sure you've seen many of the guys you saw at Texas A&M, sure, he was athletic. Sure, he could, you know, set a hard edge, but he rarely made run stops. He certainly almost never got to the quarterback. And for a guy who was as big, strong, powerful, and fast as he was, he couldn't reliably, you know, convert speed to power. And if he's dropping 15 pounds from what he's playing what is that, playing weight at Texas A&M was, that's even more reason to be, I think, discouraged about what he could be as a power pocket pusher in that next level.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, rounds 2 and 3 of the draft tonight, then the rest coming up over the weekend. Real quick, Jonas, how does Jacksonville maximize Travis Hunter's vast potential here?
Oh, man, I was so prepared to, I'm so looking forward to, you know, just thinking about him and talking about him as a Cleveland Brown. It's still kind of wild to wrap your mind around. I think it'll be a really, really fun combination there with Brian Thomas in Jacksonville, because you've got, you know, assume that they play him on offense, assume that they play Travis Hunter on offense. You've got the linear speed guy who's, you know, going to be the threat on the 9 routes, on the 8 routes, just able to kind of take the top off the defense if you don't respect that. And then you have the guy who, you know, has been compared to Odell in a lot of ways because of what he can do over the middle, his dynamism after the catch, his ability to kind of snap routes off. So there's really not a whole lot of excuses for Trevor Lawrence now, assuming that offensive line can be somewhat competent. So I think you're talking about a really, really fun wide receiver duo there. You know, Liam Cohen coming in should be able to maximize some of that talent. But obviously, you know, the problem for Jacksonville has been that offensive line and Trevor Lawrence just not protecting himself and not trusting himself back there. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing that wide receiver duo. And I'm just looking forward to seeing just how much Travis Hunter plays, because he's kind of a one-of-one prospect in all my years covering the draft.